If you take your Bible, please, and turn to 2 Peter. And the stuff that Pete opened with was a great, really, introduction to some of what we're going to look at today. We're in 2 Peter, and I'm just going to read, and this will be the text that we work from today, starting in verse 1. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to pray. Father, I just want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for the help today to open your word together, to receive what you have to say. Thank you, Father, for each mind and heart here in this room today, for out on Zoom, and I'm just thankful to be in your presence with your word. And we praise you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. In verse 2, it says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And you remember in Colossians, and Pete made reference to it earlier, in Colossians 1, it says, of this you have heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Here we read grace and peace multiplied in the knowledge of God, in knowing God and Jesus our Lord. In Colossians, it talks about how this gospel went out and that it began bearing fruit. The gospel began bearing fruit in the lives and the hearts of God's people as they got a knowledge and an understanding of his grace in truth. And grace is multiplied as we know him and know our Lord Jesus Christ. His great grace is multiplied. That's what's saying here. And then look, in 1 Peter, I'm just going to reference this, it actually refers to God as the God of all grace. Isn't that cool? He's the God of all grace. I think sometimes, at least I have, and I think we tend to see grace almost as this response or reaction to the sin of Adam and ultimately to our sin, right? But what I want you to see this morning as we go is that grace is part of who God is. He's the God of all grace. You see? And what we'll see as we go is he's chosen to pour out his grace to us through his son, Jesus Christ. This is part of who he is, though. And he would be a God of grace and mercy even if we didn't need it. Because he's just a God of grace. Isn't that cool? You start to think of that. Because what we do with our minds sometimes is we think in terms of our own shortcoming, and then we think of our need for grace, which isn't a bad thing to do inherently, but recognize that his grace is there. It's what you need, and it's even more because it's part of who he is. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to see this truth. It's really, really cool. God's grace is not just a reaction to our sin and the sin of Adam. It's part of who God is. And it's been lavished on us in who Jesus Christ is. Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to read starting in verse 6. It says here, to the praise of his glorious grace, which with which he has blessed us in the beloved. That beloved is our Lord Jesus Christ. To the praise of God's glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, the beloved, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. Isn't that incredible? He lavished his grace upon us in all wisdom and insight. So the word lavished isn't perhaps a word we use often, but it means to exceed a fixed number of measure. Okay? So if, for example, you know, a recipe calls for a cup, and you start pouring a cup in, and then it starts overflowing, you've now exceeded that measure. You've exceeded the measure. It's to abound beyond what's needed. It's to overflow. You get the picture? So it says here, it's according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us. He's poured it out to overflowing. Isn't that cool? I get a picture of, and you know, it speaks of God as a fountain of living waters, right? And it warns Israel not to hew out their own buckets that are broken and can't even hold water, but to go to the fountain of living water. And you just, I get this mind picture of this beautiful, clear fountain overflowing over the edge of a cliff or something, and just the opportunity to simply walk up to it and fill. To walk up to it and be cleansed. You see, that's his grace. It's lavished. It's pouring out. It's part of who God is. And he's chosen to pour out his grace through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, right? John 1, I'm just going to read it. It says, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We've been filled to overflowing by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And then understanding this grace causes us to bear fruit. And this grace is multiplied to us in the knowledge of God and in knowing his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay? And this is going to be an important theme as we go forward of what the goal is. Right? The Christian walk isn't just about checking the boxes. I did this, I did this, I did this. It's actually a pursuit and a seeking of knowing him. It's that approaching the fountain of living waters and being filled to overflowing with his grace, which is found in Jesus Christ. That's what our Christian walk consists of. And to whose glory is it? Right? To God's glory. Ephesians 1:6 says to the praise of his glorious grace. Romans 5 says we stand in his grace and rejoice, or we boast in hope of whose glory? The glory of God. We rejoice or we boast in hope, that confident expectation of the glory of God. We stand in his grace. Incredible. In his grace. Go back to 2 Peter. Remember a few weeks ago when Pete shared out of Titus how that grace of God teaches us to live godly in this present evil age, right? And to let the other things go. 2 Peter chapter 1 again, and I'll start reading verse 2. It says, "May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." In knowing him. Then it says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that's in the world because of sinful desire. It's always amazing to me how much can be packed into a couple sentences. This section, it helps me to kind of read it a little backwards. So I'm going to read it for you a little backwards and see if that kind of helps. But look, the world is corrupt. Why? Because of sinful desires. Okay? The world is corrupt because of sinful desires. We have escaped this corruption by becoming partakers of the divine nature through the promises that he's granted us. Okay? His great and precious promises, which were granted to us by his divine power. You get it? We have been granted all things that pertain to life and godliness. And it's through the knowledge of him. It's through the knowledge of him. And this is the thing, you know, sometimes you hear the knowledge of, and you might think in terms of just head knowledge. You might think in those terms, right? Crack the books, study it, understand the doctrine, understand the teaching. But the goal, the real goal here, is knowing him. That's the goal. Do you understand? That's the goal. And so as we go forward and we look at different habits that we can have in our life, these habits and the goal is ultimately to know him. And that knowledge of him causes grace to abound. And as grace abounds, fruit abounds. And as fruit abounds, my life, your life, our life as a church glorifies the one that we are created for. Isn't that beautiful? So it's no longer a life of just doing the Christian walk. Check, check, check. I've read my Bible. I've had my prayer time. I went to church. Now I can live my own life. You see? But it's a lifestyle of going to the fountain of living waters and being filled continuously by his grace. Receiving, not working for, but receiving the things that he's already given us in his son Jesus Christ and continues to pour out in his son Jesus Christ. And what joy is experienced by the believer in fellowship with God, receiving the grace of God continually through the channels that he gives it. Okay. And we're going to see, too, as we go, that, you know, those channels primarily fall into three categories. It's really hearing him, listening to his voice, his word, fellowship with him in prayer, and fellowship with one another. This is where God has chosen to pour out his grace in his Son, Jesus Christ. Right? So to make habits in my life that then lead me to receive of that consistently, cause grace to abound, and then fruit to abound. See how beautiful that is? How simple? I'm not working for anything. I'm receiving what he's given me. And that's a big difference, and it's just causes great joy to abound. Back to 2 Peter. He's granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. For this very reason, because you've escaped from the corruption of the world, make every effort to add to your faith. Isn't that cool? And so we've read and we've considered what God has done. Right? And now it's saying, now here's your response. You make every effort to supplement. That word supplement, that's a fine way to do it. King James says add. That word is actually translated sometimes to nourish or to minister to. Isn't that cool? I like the idea. Actually, I liked the idea of nourish, because it's not like I'm adding something to what God has done. I'm by his grace and through what he's given me nourishing what I have in Christ. Isn't that kind of a cool mind picture? So supply or furnish these things to our faith. And then it gives us this list. But it's not a thing to do list. It's actually a qualitative list. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. These are qualities. These are things that are not checklist items. Okay, I did virtue today. I'm done. I loved today. I'm done. Right? I showed brotherly affection at least once. Check. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see how these describe really elements of him built into the life? Up above it said we're called to or by his own glory and excellence. That's the same word as the word virtue. That's that excellence that we're to add or supplement our faith with. It says he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Godliness is on that list, right? Has he not loved us? Has he not showed us affection? You see? These beautiful things, these beautiful character. And these are things that, in relationship with him, they're built through knowing him in the believer's life by his grace through the things he's already done in his Son Jesus Christ, as we go to receive from him day by day, hour by hour. Then look at this beautiful verse 8 here. I love this. It says here, talk about a great and precious promise. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that cool? These qualities in your life keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember how Colossians spoke of the gospel bearing fruit in those who understood the grace of God and truth, right? And how that grace is multiplied to us in knowing God and Jesus our Lord. and how we've been granted all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowing Him. Through knowing Him. So, you know, we're kind of stealing this phrase, Habits of Grace, from a book, but I think it's a great phrase. It's a great phrase. Because we're going to be looking at habits that we can build in our life, which will help us to nourish our faith with these qualities that we just read here. And it's important to understand that we're not presenting a checklist of items to do, just a to-do list, right? To earn God's favor, or to be able to say, okay, I did my Christian thing for the day. Right? It's really to help equip us to build habits in our life, which will lead us to regularly receive the grace being poured out lavishly through God's Son. Okay. In Romans 15, I love this verse, and Paul says this of himself. He says, in Christ Jesus then, I'll just read this. It's in Romans 15. It says, in Christ Jesus then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. And then he says this, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. Isn't that cool? I don't want to talk about anything except for what Christ has accomplished through me. And boy, that's exciting. That's exciting. This is where we want to get. Is there discipline involved? There is. There's discipline involved. There's choices we make, right? But it's empowered by the grace of God. You know, God doesn't just say, trust in the Lord with all your heart, but then not give us the way to trust in the Lord with all our heart and the grace then to do it, right? He doesn't say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then stand back to watch. Is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? You know, he says it, but then he gives his grace and his power and his ability to do it. To do it. Right? What does it say? It says, for it is God who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. But it says, work out your own salvation with reverence and obedience. For it's God who works in you to will and to do. Isn't that cool? A reverent heart, an obedient heart, a heart that is showing up to the fountain of living water and opening up my cup, saying, fill me up, baby, you know, and just letting it pour in and flow over, right? How much work is that? It's not. I'm receiving the work that's already been done. That's the difference. Boy, when we try to work for something in the spirit realm, it's my flesh and it fails. But the fountain of living water is a continual source of life and grace and mercy and peace, and it abounds, right? So the things I do because I know Him and because I've received of His grace, not because I'm trying to be a better me. Second Peter ends, you can go to the last verse of Second Peter. I just love this verse. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, and this is what it says. It says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. That about says it. To Him be the glory now and to the day of eternity. It's something we get to grow in. And, you know, there's things that we can do that God's Word so beautifully lays out to receive this grace, to be filled to overflowing, you know, and to walk with Him with such joy and such relationship with Him and with one another. And that's what we're going to be looking at over the next number of weeks. And I'm excited for it. I would ask you to be praying for it, for the wisdom of how to teach it and and then also how to receive it. So, okay, I'm going to pray. Father, we're just very thankful and humbled by your word, and you just have always revealed yourself through your word. And in these latter days, you've revealed yourself through the word made flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for this group of folks who are humble, desire you, and they desire a relationship with you. And we thank you, Father, as we look in your word, and that our hearts can be encouraged, our eyes open, that our lives can reflect that virtue and steadfastness and godliness that is the hallmark of you and your Son and all those who are called by your name. Thank you for these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.